This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. It's Sabres Live. Sabres will be live tonight on MSG and WGR Sports Radio 550 against Columbus. Game two of the road trip tonight. Jordan LaBarber from Sabres.com is with us, which is a nice feeling for me because I thought you had like blocked me. It feels like forever since we've talked. So welcome back. Thank you for making me feel worthy once again. Your takeaway so far, let's do a five-game segment. Marty loves the segments. Mm-hmm. What have you seen in the five games, regardless of records and stats and whatever and whatever? Honestly, Jordan, you've been around this team as much or more than anyone based on your travels overseas and now travels again here on this three-game trip.
Well, I think you see a team that's getting used to a new identity. You do have a new coach, and with that comes, I don't know if I want to say growing pains, but, you know, you've heard a lot about we want to be harder to play against. We want to be more physical. And you see that manifest itself in the numbers and even the eye test. I mean, the team has they're up towards the top of the league in hits, but playing more physically in the defensive zone, trying to get out quicker has been – maybe the number one thing Lindy Ruff has been preaching all year is using physicality to kill plays quicker and break out and go north. But also, you know, on the forecheck and through the neutral zone. But with that, you know, you're still looking for that consistency. You know, this is a team that has scored in the past. I think that, you know, even though it wasn't as prominent last year, still ended up 10th in the league in goals, I think. And toward the top of the league the year before. So you're trying to see that more consistently. They have scored more the last two games. And obviously the one area that's going to have to be more consistent is the power play. It was an area last year that probably was the biggest reason for the drop off in scoring. And you see them do different things personnel wise. They've had different, there have been some power plays that have looked really great where they've been set up and they've had chances. I don't think that was the case very much last night. Obviously, entries is still a thing they're going to keep working on, trying to get set up in the zone and maybe just putting the puck deep when the opportunity presents itself, when there isn't the chance to just cross over the blue line.
So, Jordan, what we're seeing is that they scored five against Pittsburgh. They scored five against Florida. They probably could have scored five against LA, right? Mm-hmm. So that identity of the team being able to score goals seems to be there. The identity of the puck management, and Lindy mentioned the puck management yesterday. I don't think bad puck management goes with, oh, we're taking chances to score goals. Mm-hmm. You score goals when you manage the puck well. And the experiences, though, it may take a little bit of time. Do you think Lindy, in his post-game conference last night, sounds like he has patience for that, or lack of patience is going to be the term when it comes to puck management?
I don't want to say lack of patience, because I think he understands that it's, you know, it's a process. However, definitely, I don't think there's an abundance of patience, not just from him, but from the players themselves. I think they have very high expectations, and Lindy speaks very matter-of-factly. I'm sure he does to them. He does to the media. He said yesterday, you know, our puck management in the second period was terrible. But you heard that from the players too. You know, Tage Thompson was pretty, you know, blunt in his assessment. You know, they had good stretches yesterday, and they had very bad stretches yesterday, and it all had to do with puck management and making the right decisions and not allowing Pittsburgh to come back in that case with grade A chances on the rush, which you saw the first period was pretty dominant. The Sabres looked, I thought, a lot faster than Pittsburgh in the first period. And then the second period, maybe giving the Penguins opportunities to look offensive because of turnovers, I think, you know, maybe was a difference. So the answer being probably not a lot of patience from anyone, because they have high expectations and they are aware of the mistakes that cost them yesterday.
Who do you think can get through this period of challenging times statistically from a personal standpoint, Rasmus Dahlin or Dylan Cousins or both? Like, how do you view how they're both handling this situation where obviously based on their leadership expectations, both external and internal, would like to be having bigger impacts on these games? How do you see them handling this?
Yeah, it's those two guys. You know, I can tell you from being around the team, it's not a lack of effort and it's not a lack of compete and it's not a lack of caring. So I expect a lot from both of those guys because I think they expect a lot from themselves. We've seen that from them before. It has been a slow start statistically. I thought, you know, Dylan, the first couple of games really stood out the way he played maybe overseas. Rasmus is on the ice in every situation. The points will come if he's just himself. Like that's a given, especially if the power play takes off and he's, you know, the one quarterbacking up there. It was a season of high expectations for Dylan. He talked about it. You know, Kevin Adams and Leof talked about set the high ceiling that we all know he has. A two-way center who can really control a game. And they said, just be yourself, play your game, let the points follow. So I think that's probably the mandate still. Be good in all areas and points will follow. Yeah, he had chances even in the past week.
Yeah, he did have chances, and, you know, that's what it is right now when it comes to the Sabres creating chances, but it's the other side of things that they have to be able to manage better, especially after last night. They're in Columbus tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. We're on the air at 6:30 for the pregame. Kind of a weird week in Columbus because they had their home opener against the Florida Panthers on Tuesday. But it wasn't a typical home opener. It was more of a celebration of life of Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau. Tonight, they're doing a pregame home opening ceremony type of thing. Columbus, I mean, they can score. They scored six against Colorado. They scored, three against Florida, and it was a tight battle. Like, I think they've got surprising good forwards. It's something that the Sabres will have to watch for, but what do you expect out of this group on the second back-to-back of the year, really?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, Columbus... they're dealing with injuries quite a bit, actually. Obviously, Boone Jenner is out for a while. A lot of these young forwards we saw in the head-to-head games last year, they have the ability to cause problems and score. Marchenko had the hat trick last year. Chinnikov is also on that line with Monahan. He's off to a great start. I think he's got five assists already. And Fantilli, he's a top of the draft guy, and he had some success against the Sabres. Even the goalie, I think Tarasov's in that tonight. He had one of those games against the Sabres last year. I think two of them, actually. Two of them.
Yeah, he played in all three. Of course, he was a pedestrian in the Columbus 9-4 win over Buffalo. He didn't have to do much.
Yeah.
But the next two games, he's the reason they got to overtime before the Sabres won. He stopped 39 of 42. And then in the next meeting, which he also lost, he stopped 35 of 37. So... Mm-hmm. I don't know who's got the advantage here. Buffalo certainly knows because they've seen him three times now, Tarasov in goal.
Yeah, and the point being, there's a lot of they've got a lot of young guys who are capable, and they've got a lot of reason to play right now. I'm sure, you know, it was an emotional night the other night. I'm sure that emotion is going to spill into the rest of the season, I would imagine. And it'll probably be a lot of perspective, too, walking the other night, seeing that banner. It's, I mean, just on a human level, how could you not? So that's what I'm expecting, probably more emotion and probably a highly motivated Columbus team.
We expect Levi to start tonight, back-to-back, right? And they've been rotating. I've liked what I've seen out of Levi. Not saying that, you know, I've not liked some of the things that I've seen out of Luukkonen. Unfortunately, Lukanen's 0-2-1, right? And that's at the end of the day, you want to win. But... you're around, like, what's Levi's demeanor different from this year being around the team at the start of the year to last year, like on the plane at the hotel and everything?
Yeah, not a huge difference to me, honestly, in the sense that he's always just been very much himself, very confident. I will say he's spoken so highly of his experience in Rochester, and I don't think it's a stretch to say he went down there and dominated. His numbers were towards the top of the league while he was there. So maybe those game repetitions, you know, made him a better goaltender. I mean, I think every experience you have at that age probably does make you better. But in terms of who he is, he's a confident kid who I think, you know, draws confidence from the people around him because of the way he carries himself. So really, really a great start. His season.
I know we Duffer quickly. I know we asked on social media, which was a great feature, who asked Bob Dylan to go to the game? And some said it probably was Levi. I don't believe Levi was that guy. Do you have an idea? Was it Tage? I feel like Tage had the guilty smile when he was asked. And like Tage knows good music. I think he would know who Bob Dylan is, would recognize him, and would ask him to come to a game.
I truly don't know. Watching that video, it seemed to be the conclusion that was drawn that it was Tage. Like you said, though, he's a music guy. You'd think you probably know. That said, I mean, you're in an elevator. You know, who knows? It doesn't even mean you don't know who it is. You could be in an elevator full of people and not even realize. But I can confirm that it was no member of the staff. We all wish that we had met Bob Dylan. And it was not any of us.
Jordan, thank you. Enjoy the continuation of this trip, which, of course, culminates in Chicago on Saturday. We'll see you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See you.
Jordan LaBarber from Sabres.com. We've got lots to get through still here on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.